This is The Huddle.
It's not this. This is what we do.
Every Thursday from noon to 2. The Huddle.
Welcome back, everybody. We continue with The Huddle live from Seahawks headquarters. It is a pleasure to speak with this man who is coming off a very good game. Nice bounce back from week number one. Talking about cornerback for your Seattle Seahawks, Trey Flowers is here with us. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Did it feel like a bounce back game? I know you took some heat after game number one. There was a lot of attention being paid to you in the Bengal game, and then you fast forward to this game, and man, there weren't a lot of passing yards happening out there, and it felt like, just from a novice's point of view, I thought you played really well. How'd you feel?
I feel like I always play pretty good. It's always something to learn from. But, yeah, they didn't have a lot of X plays, a lot of explosive plays this game in the passing game, so it was a win for the secondary.
How different was it when they changed quarterbacks on you? Is that something that you pay much attention to, or are you just more focused on what you're doing?
I mean, well, definitely it's a difference. Big Ben's a Hall of Famer. And then Mason doesn't really have a lot of reps, but he's going to be a good player, in my opinion. But, yeah, it pays dividends, but I'm just playing my keys. I mean, it's the same plays. They're going to come out even probably more simple.
Was it a little bit different when he was out there?
I couldn't really tell the difference. I think they kept the same offense, in my opinion. And it worked out for us.
Yeah.
So that's steady.
Well, and this will be the second week in a row that you face a backup. So how much have you gotten into the New Orleans film so far?
I've been watching since we got back on the plane. Yeah. On the plane ride, I was watching a couple of days now, let's just say.
Yeah. Yes, what do you see out of, like, Teddy Bridgewater? Well, actually, what I really want to ask is this Taysom Hill guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's an interesting player. Like, he covers kickoffs and he lines up at quarterback. What do you see from that guy?
Like you say, he's everywhere. He pops out on film. I saw him front line on kickoff return 1 week, and then I saw him as an off returner 1 week. So it's just, he's an athletic player, and they're going to try to get him involved.
Yeah, probably a little bit more, you figure, going into this game without Drew Brees.
Yeah, definitely. That would be my guess. I mean, I'm not paid to make guesses, but, yeah, that's a guess that I'll take.
Trey, all we heard last week was how hard it is to win in Pittsburgh, Heinz Field, the whole thing. Now, I wasn't there. I'm watching on TV. But it looked like a regular football game to me. Did it seem like it was extra difficult for you guys to win there, or was it like most other NFL stadiums? It looked like it was actually part empty at different times during the game.
It was times where it was loud, of course. I mean, it was a CenturyLink, but it was times where it got loud when they tried to make a little comeback. But, when we're on defense, offense, they're quiet. So I like the crowd.
Sure,
I like the away games. It's not loud, and it's easy to hear and communicate.
How comfortable are you now as a cornerback? We talked to you last year, and the big story was, hey, this is not his position in college, and this is an adjustment, and he's got to do it at the pro level, and you had such a great rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
Does it feel second nature, or do you still feel like, okay, there are things I'm overthinking, or it's all natural? Where are you at with this transition?
To be honest, the approach I take is I really don't even think of myself as a safety in college anymore. I just play corner. So if I made the transition fully, I don't like thinking that it's something that I lack. I just try to get better at everything.
Seems like film's a big part of that.
Definitely.
Is that something that you always did? Is that something that you're good at doing?
I would think so. I always pick minds and other vets and everything. And even coaches when I was in college, I always talked to them. At corner, it's a little bit more technique with the film, but I've always liked watching film.
So when you guys win on the road, the plane flight home, is it you guys, the guys, the players go up to first class, right? Are you on that, or are you on that?
I don't,
too young?
I don't even try. I'm pretty sure I'd get kicked out. So I just go to my regular seat.
They go by age, right?
I asked
works?
Bobby about it last year, and he goes, I have no idea how they do it, but I had a first class seat, and it was lovely. So
I couldn't even tell you what first class is on the plane. So I just sit in my seat in the back.
Well, you guys were having more fun back there. Were you part of that group that was
doing the movies?
Yeah,
we did that for like 4 hours straight. It was pretty good. It was fun.
That's the beauty of a road win, man. I mean, you get to hang out. Like home games, everybody takes off, goes different ways. But on an away game, a win, you get to hang out on the bus and the plane. I mean, that had to have been a blast.
Yeah, winning makes everything better. Trust me.
You've been sitting there fidgeting with your car keys this entire interview. What kind of car are you driving here?
I had a truck. I had a Ford truck.
You're a truck guy.
I'm a truck. I'm from Texas.
Oh, man. I'm a truck guy. I didn't think I could love him more. I'm a truck guy. He's a truck guy.
I'm a truck guy. Yes, sir.
You getting out of here after this or something?
Oh, no. I just left something in my car.
Gotcha.
My other journal. I got my journal for here taking notes. I left my home when in my car.
Excellent. NASA can go get it for you if you want him to.
Oh, no.
That's nice of you to volunteer, NASA.
I do my own favors.
He says, thank you, Tom.
Hey, well, watching Pete Carroll is amazing. I mean, we've been covering him since he's been here, obviously, but you guys celebrated his birthday in the locker room. 68 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know any other 68-year-olds that are anything like him? His energy, he's just a different cat.
I know a couple 68-year-olds, and they're not throwing footballs and running up and down kickoff returns with us. So, yeah, he's a special person.
Taking his shirt off when he's interviewing DK Metcalf at the thing there. It's got to be fun to play for a guy like that, right?
Definitely. You know, you enjoy doing everything, coming up here for practice, coming up here for quote-unquote work. I love it, every second of it.
Hey, how did some of your teammates play? Like, Leno Hill, I was really interested to see him play because Pete's been talking about him for a while. And when you guys looked at film, how did he play?
I think he played great.
I thought so too.
He jumped in. He made tackles. He played violent. He did a lot of stuff that probably isn't appealing to the viewer's eye, but he did great things for the defense.
Do you and Shaquille talk a lot about different receivers and stuff during the game as the game goes on, what they're doing to you and stuff?
Yeah, definitely. We talk every time we come off the field, just what you got as a route, what was the stem, what was the everything you can think of, we're talking about. Yeah.
Are you guys all pretty close now in the secondary? You've been together, most of you, for more than a year now. Are you guys all pretty good friends?
I would say definitely.
Yeah.
You know, I think we talk every day on and off the field, and I think, yeah, we're great friends.
Anybody you haven't matched up with yet that you look forward to that battle? Is there a receiver you see out there like, man, I can't wait to test myself against a guy like that?
No, not really, just one guy. I think just every week. I mean, he's in the NFL. He's a starter. So I'm just trying to do my best against him, put something great on tape, and make this team win.
After going up against him in practice, are you surprised that the impact that Metcalf has had already in just two games?
Not at all. I mean, during camp, I used to read the reports that he had a great day and he didn't drop a ball on our secondary, which was, in my opinion, not the truth. But, but I mean, yeah, he made plays all camp. And I couldn't wait to see what he did against somebody else.
What's up with 21 as opposed to 37? What happened there?
I just, you know, like I said, Sean Alexander's I hope he's going to be a Hall of Famer in my eyes. And I wanted my own thing for Seattle.
You know,
I just
want to
let that go and let them retire that when it happens. You know, just that would be an easier transaction other than them taking it from me.
You're surprised?
A year from now.
You're surprised people get so invested in your number?
I was actually truly surprised how many people started DMing me. I thought it was going to be an easy transition.
Jersey numbers matter.
Yeah,
you know, though, you've done it early enough in your career where 21 will become you, you know, down the line.
For
so
sure.
You're fine.
Yeah, it's funny how a number grows on you. But I didn't even think about Sean Alexander. That's right. But
yeah, that's...
There had to have been a massive amount of money that exchanged hands for Jadeveon Clowney to get number 90.
I can't wait to ask that question. I'm not going to ask anybody else but the horse that's I will ask Jay Reid that question first thing I ask.
We asked Jadeveon, and he didn't answer us.
Yeah, he goes, well, that's personal. But Jaron Reed, I mean, he was wearing that number in college.
Yeah, that's what me and Shaq were talking about it. He had to come off something phenomenal.
So it's not well known around the locker room.
Oh, no.
How much money changed?
I'm going straight to Jay Reid as soon as he comes in. Yeah, I need that answer. I need
this right now. Wants the truth. Trey, congrats on the start, man. 2-0. Very cool to see what's happening with you. A great game, and hopefully we see the same thing happening week in, week out. Looking forward to this weekend versus the Saints. Best of luck to you, man.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Thanks, Trey.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Trey Flower spending some time with us. Good to catch up with him. We're going to come back. We'll speak with the voice of your Seattle Seahawks, Steve Rabel. I hear is going to join us live in person. How about that? That's going to happen next right here on 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is The Huddle, every Thursday from noon to 2 on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Glad you said that right before we come on air here, Dave. It is The Huddle on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Some of me and Rabe's best work is during the commercials.
That's right. Yeah. Thank God it's during the commercials,
too. That was good work right there. You hear the voice. Steve Rabel is with us, voice of your Seattle Seahawks. How are you, man?
Gents, I'm good. I love what you've done with the place.
Do you like it?
Does it speak to you? I haven't been in a closet since I got dressed this morning. Goodness.
Hey, well, how are you feeling about this team now that they went on the road in a place that's, you know, notoriously tough to win? I know it was a backup quarterback that came in, but he was more effective than Roethlisberger was in the first half. How do you sum up this win?
Every one of them is good. You know, people describe them sometimes. Oh, that was an ugly win. Every win is a good win. And as Dave will attest, and as Pete and everybody else will say, you know, it's hard to win a game in the National Football League on any given Sunday. And I know all those things sound trite, but to go back to Pittsburgh, where the last two times we've been back there and a loss by a combined 45 zip, you just never know what you're going to run into back there. They're great fans. They always have good competitive football teams. So to hang in there and then go ahead and pull away and actually give them the chance to get back into it late with that late fumble, I just thought it was a terrific showing by the team. Forget about the fact that they didn't have their starting quarterback, as you said. Mason Rudolph did a pretty good job out there.
How did you rate Russell's performance? You've seen them all. I mean, it was as good as it gets.
As good as it gets, yeah. And you know, each week, you look at the quarterback ratings. I think it was 134 against the Bengals, and that sort of amazed me. You know, you wait till you get to the end of the game and you look at the final stats. He had that many completions? He had 22 of 26. How does that happen? You know, you're watching the game and you're not thinking about it while you're trying to call it. I'm trying to keep Dave from saying something on the air that he shouldn't say.
Sure,
that's tough. So I'm busy. And then all of a sudden you look down and this is the kind of game he's had. And the same thing in Pittsburgh. He's just so – when Pete said before the first game, he's as good as he's ever been, or he's the best he's ever been.
Sure, true.
It really is. He's playing lights out right now. And, you know, as long as he keeps taking care of himself, knowing when to slide, hopefully not sliding on lousy turf.
Yeah, no kidding.
That comes up and almost broke his leg. We watched that out there on Sunday, and we both kind of went, oh, I hope he's okay. And he was, happily.
You know,
he's amazing season so far.
Yeah, that was... You know, during the broadcast, for the first time ever, I said, look at that. Where were you on that one?
I was going to leave you hanging on that one. Yeah. I can't fix everything for you, Dave. I do my best.
You know, when they brought in Brian Schottenheimer, I think part of the reasoning there was he was going to come in, he was going to challenge Russell a little bit. Not remake him or anything like that. He was just going to challenge him more.
Right.
Do you think that's happening? I mean, does Schottenheimer maybe deserve some of the credit for what's going on with Russell? And it just he's been more consistent, et cetera?
I think so. And I think part of it, too, is just what Schottie brings in the way of the running game because he's so schooled in the running attack. I mean, it's in his genes, first of all. But then he's been places where they have run the football. He gets it. He understands. And now he's got a toy in Russell that opens up other opportunities for you with the read-keep option, with the run-pass option, those kinds of things. You don't want to do it too much, but the threat of that every single play is something the defenses have to prepare for. And as soon as they start crashing that defensive end down to make plays on the inside, the ride inside, is when you keep it and take off and go for 15 or 20, slide down, nice, easy first down. Schottie brings so much of that to the game. And I think Russ and he, you know, are really on the same page. And I think that works. I think it works to the team's benefit. Plus, his passing attack has proven to be pretty successful, too.
You know, with Russell's performance and everything and the win and Rashad Penny, you know, I felt like that was a really good game for him. And then the read keep where I thought Russell should have kept it, and he handed it to Penny, and Penny does this, like, backwards jump cut.
Right.
He doesn't look like he's running that fast,
right.
Does he?
No.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he's 6 yards ahead of the defenders.
Right.
And sprinting downfield, and nobody's going to catch him, except Russell, who ran beside him and kind of shielded one of the defenders off till he got to the end zone. Yeah, that that was one of those plays, Tom, where you keep, you know, you're feeding Chris Carson inside, you're feeding Penny inside, play after play, and once in a while a little thing, you know, will go for 3 or 4 yards. Then all of a sudden, pops outside. they also had just the right play called against a defense that could not have been the most wrong defense for that particular play. Defensive end came straight up field. They had a loop back inside, so it opened this big hole. Linebacker got caught up in the wash, and Penny just, as you said, put his foot in the ground, jump cut to the right, and he was gone. You know, you guys, maybe not all of you, but some of you could have run through that hole. Some of us would have shuffled through it, but we'd have gotten there eventually. But it that was one of those plays that just really worked.
Hey, any concern on your part with what we've seen in Chris Carson fumbling 3 and 2 games? I mean, it's,
you know, the second of the two fumbles this week, I don't kind of really look at that so much as Chris. That was a great play by Hilton, the defensive back for the Steelers. It was a bad play by the Seahawks. We didn't block him, and he came crashing down. You always get. I was always told, as a player, the first thing you should ask yourself on every play, what's the worst thing that can happen on this play? If I'm lined up in a slot as a wide receiver, what's the worst thing that can happen? If I'm lined up wide outside and a certain defense comes up, what's the worst thing that can happen? Well, if you are blocking at the line of scrimmage, whether you're a slot receiver or a tight end or whatever, what's the worst thing that can happen to you? Well, in that case, it would be somebody slashing across the line of scrimmage and crossing your face, and you don't get a hand on him. That's the worst thing that can happen. And that's the call they had on. And so Chris gets hit in the backfield, has his legs taken out from him before the ball was even in his belly. So I don't know that I would give him the fumble. I think, in fact, officially it went to Russ, as I remember, it wasn't even a connection. It was just the ball ended up on the ground. All that said, Chris is the one that has to understand, and he knows. He's the first one in the locker room that said, I own that. That's me. I got to be better about that.
Yeah, and you're right. Russ got one, and Carson got
one. And part of it is just because he is fighting for every inch that he can get, and he's so big and strong that he's probably going to get that extra yard that we needed on a 4th and 1 at the end of the fourth quarter to seal the deal. You can talk about it, and you can preach it, and you can practice it, and you can put that your hand over the end of the ball all day long. Sometimes it's going to happen. And the more you carry the ball, the more opportunities you're going to have that knocked out. All that said, he knows you can't do it. Pete preaches it, and I think he's going to be fine. He's too good a running back to be concerned too often about those things.
Rabes, it's good to see you in person, man. Let's do this more often.
Okay.
We appreciate it, man.
All right, guys. Thanks.
There you go.
They're warming up the chopper, buddy.
There he is.
Security is waiting for me.
I know. Guys with earpieces in out there ready to escort him out to the parking lot. We got you.
That's right.
The voice of your Seattle Seahawks, Steve Rabel, with us every week here in the huddle. We'll come back. We'll get a closer look at the Saints team. Mike Triplett from ESPN.com will join us next as we continue live from Seahawks headquarters on 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is The Huddle, every Thursday from noon to 2 on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome back into The Huddle, everybody. We're live at Seahawks headquarters as the Seahawks get set to take on the New Orleans Saints at CenturyLink Field this weekend. And a man is here to give us a little closer look at the Saints team from ESPN.com. Mike Triplett is with us on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how are you doing?
We're good. We're good. Looking forward to the game this weekend. Obviously, it's got a little different look to it because of the absence of Drew Brees. Tell me how that news is going over. Is there a panic out there, or is there a segment of the fan base that's going, you know what, with Teddy Bridgewater's no slouch out there, I think we'll be okay for a little bit?
Oh, no, it's all panic.
All right.
I will say this. Teddy Bridgewater is the best backup plan they've ever had in, you know, the 14 years that Drew Brees has been here. And really, Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom Hill, and Sean Payton said today he plans to use both of them, or at least wants to keep the Seahawks guessing that they need to prepare for both of them. And it's the deepest quarterback room they've ever had. It's the best equipped they've ever been to handle something like this. But unfortunately, Teddy Bridgewater did struggle a little bit when he came in the game, and worse, the rest of the team around him struggled with penalties and the offensive line struggling and not being able to run the ball. So they're going to need a lot better performance across the board to get through this. So there would be less concern if maybe Teddy Bridgewater had come in and led him to a couple touchdown drives last week, but him having a full week to prepare and Sean Payton having a full week to game plan with both of his quarterbacks should you know, give them a better showing of themselves this week, hopefully, than last week.
Mike, I can imagine that officiating mistakes don't go over so well in New Orleans. And Cameron Jordan took a touchdown off the board. What was the reaction from fans there? I like that he called the guy the footlocker referee, whatever. But, yeah, I mean, I got to imagine you guys are pretty pretty sensitive about that kind of stuff after what happened in the NFC Championship game.
Well, it's just nuts. I mean, I think they've gotten progressively, you know, not worse, but, you know, the one we saw the other day, that does happen in the NFL every once in a while where the referees blow the whistle and they shouldn't have because if they called it a fumble, he could have scored the touchdown. And instead, they called it an interception at first. And, you know, I took a touchdown off the board. The thing that made it so egregious, first of all, it was Rams Saints again. And we all remember what happened when the Rams were at the Saints the NFC Championship game. And then last week, their first game back after the NFC Championship game, they had a really embarrassing officiating error where they screwed up and took 15 seconds off the clock in the final minute before halftime that prevented the Saints from having that 15 seconds to maybe kick a field goal or score a touchdown. And so it's three games in a row now where the league has had to admit they screwed up a pretty big momentum-changing call. So it's certainly not the only reason the Saints lost that game in L.A. last week. But, you know, it's definitely making a lot of fans throw their arms up in the air, like, how can this keep happening to them?
You know, Mike, over the last 20 years, it's been Belichick and Brady and Peyton Manning, I guess, and Dungy, and he's had a few different coaches. But Sean Payton and Drew Brees have been right there for most of that way. Why does it always feel like when we're rating these quarterbacks and coaches, like those guys are always number three? I mean, they've been almost, Super Bowls, I guess, aside, at least he's got one. Why does it feel like they're a number three?
Well, I mean, that's part of it. Only one Super Bowl and one Super Bowl appearance. I think getting there last year would have cemented their legacies, you know, beyond that. I mean, I guess, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy had one Super Bowl too. You know, I think two Super Bowls would have clearly made it be the Brady, Manning, Brees era when we looked back on it forever. But, you know, he also was playing his entire career with maybe two of the, you know, the two best quarterbacks in NFL history. But there was also a little lull. I mean, they did go 7-9 3 years in a row. And you know, credit to the Saints and Sean Payton for sticking through that, because not a lot of teams have the patience to do that. I did a story at the time about, I think, the only other coach in like 20 years who had survived like 3.5 losing seasons was Jeff Fisher. You know, teams don't have that kind of patience. We just saw Mike McCarthy and Marvin Lewis both get fired last year. But I think the Saints always knew what they had in Sean Payton. They certainly know what they have in Drew Brees. And it just took a couple really good draft classes to get this team up and running again.
Hey, Mike, let me bring you back to Bridgewater for a moment. I was listening to somebody on national radio that was talking to somebody from New Orleans, so forgive me, I can't remember the names, but they were sort of implying that Bridgewater was the franchise quarterback in waiting. At least they've got this franchise quarterback ready to go, and I was thinking, well, slow down. I agree that he might be the best backup in the league, but to look at him as the future after, you know, whenever Brees decides to retire seemed a bit much to me. Is that how he's viewed out there? How do people view Bridgewater and his role with this team?
Well, I think that's 50% maybe, or at least, you know, a good portion of why they've invested so much in him. They traded a third-round pick to get him last year at the end of the preseason, and then they made him the highest-paid backup quarterback in the league this year, a deal worth $7.25 million-plus incentives that he might hit if he plays a lot this year. And part of that was to have their own Nick Foles if something happened to Drew Brees, but part of it was to evaluate him because they know Brees is 40 years old and they're going to need a new quarterback soon, and he's one of the options they're going to consider. So it's not written in ink that he is the future of the Saints, but now they don't want to take this extended look at him. They wish Drew Brees had stayed healthy, but now they're going to get to. So that's going to be a huge – this is an audition for the next 6 to 8 weeks. And if he plays well, he probably will be the next quarterback, or the same for Taysom Hill. It, you know, Sean Payton has said, compared him to Steve Young's career and skill level, not that he will be the next Steve Young, but how it took Steve Young a while to develop, and they see that possible blueprint for him. So these guys are both sort of auditioning to maybe have that vision for the future.
So do the Saints come up here and pull off the upset?
I'm not going to predict the Saints to win. I think it's a hard place to play, obviously, especially for a quarterback making his first real start in a long time. But I do think that they have one of the best offensive lines in the league. If their defense can play as well as was last year, they've got a great run game. This is a team that is not built to be all Drew Brees or nothing like it was for so many years in the past. So I think they can be more sneaky competitive than people might give them credit for.
Hey, Mike, appreciate you taking a few minutes with us. Thanks so much, and best of luck the rest of the season.
All right, thank
you
all.
There you go, Mike Triplett from ESPN.com, giving us a little closer look at this New Orleans Saints team. Meanwhile, we'll come back and get Dave Wyman's final thoughts on this matchup. He'll be leaving us after the next segment to roam off into a day where you got nothing else to do, man. This is a rare day where you don't have 18 things lined up after this show.
Yeah, but I got a list of chores a million miles long.
I hope the dishwasher's not one of them.
This morning.
It's such a grind. We'll talk about the Saints matchup coming up as we continue with the huddle live from Seahawks headquarters on 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is The Huddle, every Thursday from noon to 2 on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome back into The Huddle, everybody. Before we get Dave Wyman's thoughts on the weekend coming up, we had a couple players that have been speaking with the media earlier today. We'll give you some later. Give you a little bit coming up. I think DK Metcalf was up there talking.
Bobby Wagner also.
Bobby Wagner and probably Russell as well, I would assume.
Was Bobby talking about how linebackers are dope?
Are dope?
Yeah.
Is that his new line?
Yeah, because he was like, everybody's talking about getting the linebackers off the field. I think linebackers are dope.
Yeah, so they are talking about that, aren't they?
He's bringing that back. That's an old phrase.
I know. I like it.
That's pretty dope, I like man. It. I haven't heard that in a long time.
Yeah, but that's what they're doing.
They're leaving them on.
Who's the best tackling linebacker in the league? Is KJ top five, top three?
Yeah, I believe so.
I love watching him make tackles.
I do, too. And I just think he's hard to get around. I mean, he's just long legs, long arms. You know, you saw the thing on the TV where it looks like he was doing.
I've never seen that.
That was like the last part of a handshake. You know?
It looked like I can't remember who the ball carrier was, but it didn't look like he was trying to get it. He looked like he was gripping too. Yeah. It was kind of a weird handshake, and yeah, brought him down to the ground.
It's the epitome of get him down any way you can. And KJ doesn't miss tackles. I mean, I think he's having quietly a really. I mean, Bobby's always good.
Yeah, well, speaking of Bobby, before we get your thoughts on the game this weekend, let's hear a little bit of what he had to say.
What's that like for me?
Go back and watch the tape. What sticks out from, was it better than you thought, worse than you thought from week two?
From the game? Yeah. I felt like we played pretty well. I felt like we started really good. Like I said, I think there's some things that we need to clean up, but sitting at 2-0 is a lot. Better feeling than sitting at 0-2. So, we're grateful for these wins because we understand they're hard to come by, but we know we can't get complacent. Got to stay hungry and make sure we have the same focus every week.
How involved have you guys been in the pass rush this first year?
Pretty involved. They've sent us a little bit more. We've tried to hug up on our find little opportunities to kind of just, sneak our little bodies in there. So, my body's going to be. But anyways, so we're trying to find ways to get to the quarterback.
What have you thought about all the base you guys have played through the first two games?
I don't mind it. I mean, the more linebackers, the merrier, in my opinion. I think you kind of force teams to, they want to pass. When they see base, they want to come out and try to pass the ball. But when you're dropping your hooks and dropping your zones, they tend to check it down to those intermediate routes, and you got pretty big bodies coming to make the tackles. So, I think it's fun. It's just adds another dynamic to our defense. We got a lot of different personnels that we can play. Last year, we had a lot of DBs, and we showed we can do really, really well with that. This year we have a lot of linebackers, and showed we can do really well with that as well.
What was your reaction when you heard Drew wasn't going
to
play this week?
It was unfortunate. I was looking forward to playing him. It's always fun playing against him. It's like a chess match out there. Him coming up to the line, changing the calls, and trying to see what we're in. So, it's always fun playing against him. So I hope
he has a real good recovery, and see him soon.
What kind of challenge does that present? I mean, you haven't seen many games without Drew Brees at quarterback for the Saints in a long time to figure out what they're going to do without him.
Well, you just got to watch, you know, the type of plays that they use Teddy, you know, when he got in the game. You got to watch, you know, because I think they do a little bit. He gets out of the pocket a little bit more. And so you just have to see, you know, what style do they play. You know, Drew's been playing for a long time, so he's mastered a lot of, you know, the reads and things of that nature. And so you just got to see what type of offense are you going to see. It's going to be a little bit different, but it shouldn't be crazy different.
Anything you did in preparing for Bridgewater in 2015 in that freezer box playoff game, too, does that apply at all now, or is that too futility?
Nah, that game was like negative 29 degrees. That was the biggest element in the game. I don't know. We was thinking about the quarterback at that point. When I came out and warmed up and I saw a dude sneeze and it turned into ice before it hit his lip, I knew that was the biggest element we was going to face.
As a leader on this defense, when you're facing a backup quarterback, do you have to say anything to the guys to make sure that no one's overlooking anything or getting complacent about, oh, Drew Brees is out, okay, now it's going to be easier?
Yeah, you definitely got to remind the guys not to let your guard down, because at the end of the day, you know, it's a professional league, and the guys behind those guys are professionals. And, you know, you can't take anybody light, because they can come out and have one of their best games. And so, you know, it's just part of letting the guys know we got to stay locked in, and, you know, it doesn't matter who we're playing, we got to put our best foot forward every chance we get. And so, you know, myself, KJ, Russ, all those guys, just got to remind them that don't matter who we playing, we got to play our game. We can't let the opponent dictate how we play.
There you go. There's a bit from Bobby Wagner speaking with the media. And before we let Dave get out of here, no, Dave is not leaving. He's leaving the room.
Just for today.
He'll be back.
No longer
somebody got
you.
Panicked.
No longer with us.
He's no longer amongst the living. What do you think? I mean, he was just touching on it. Of course, everybody's going to be asked about it. How do you prepare? It's Bridgewater. It's not Breeze. Is it? Everybody assumes it's going to be an easier job for a defense. How did you handle that when you would? I'm sure you had those moments where you guys spent a week or prepared for a certain player, a certain quarterback, and then all of a sudden you're playing a backup.
I'd say it's probably less than you think, because they're still going to run plays, their offense, right?
And if anything, wouldn't it
pretty much
when they dumb it down a little bit?
Yeah.
Like, right, he doesn't have full command of the offense?
Yeah, exactly. So, and you know, one of the things, you saw Mason Rudolph scramble and actually get some yards up the middle at the end. I'm sure they didn't game plan for, you know, a spy guy or anything like that, because it's Ben Roethlisberger. He's
right.
Not going to take off running. So that's a... Whoa, what's going on out there?
They're a little verbose out there, fellas.
There's a fight.
I wish.
fight. So, I like Bridgewater, like I said. And I think you're probably going to see more of that Taysom Hill guy. I think they're probably going to use him quite a bit. And
how do you draft a guy like that? Or did they draft him, or did they pick him up?
I think he was a free agent.
Was he a free agent?
BYU kid.
So does Sean Payton just look at him and be like, all right, we can use this guy 18 different
ways? I see
ways.
A weapon, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, how do you identify that?
Pete Carroll would say, yeah, this guy can do lots of cool stuff.
Yeah, right.
I love it. I love it, man. It's almost like a hitting pitcher in Major League Baseball. You see something like that where a guy can play quarterback. He's running down on kickoffs. Like Trey Flowers said, he's on the front line of the kickoff return team. So that means, I mean, those are usually linebackers. So, and he's a pretty big kid. I saw he's 6'3", 225, something like that.
Yeah, Sean Payton is going to have some fun this weekend, I think. I think he's going to unleash some stuff that the Seahawks haven't seen, because they would never do it with Breeze.
Yeah. So, I mean, but that's the thing, you know, and I would say this is more on the Seahawks than anything New Orleans does. So, because, you know, if you have play, they're going to run something you have never seen before. You have rules in your defense.
Right.
You know, and
follow your keys.
Unless people get confused or whatever. But, you know, you've seen a couple of the things so far. Like, you know, it's funny. I asked Keith Butler this, what happened in New England. And, you know, all these people that are analyzing the game, like, oh, well, schematically this, that, and the other. You ask a football guy like Keith Butler, he's like, we missed tackles. We had blown assignments. You know, we didn't play our best. and we weren't hustling, whatever. I mean, it's always something basic. So, you know, that those are the things that were, I say, it's on the Seahawks defense to stop doing things like biting on a flea flicker.
Tell you what, though, the Saints, I'm not sure who's going to be, or if Bridgewater will be good throwing to him. They have one of the best receivers in the game in Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas.
That guy can go up, down, around, and get anything. He is a heck of a... Now, it will be interesting to see him without Breeze.
Yeah.
But... I think he's going to be – he's a tough guy to cover.
Yeah, and maybe we'll see how good he is. I mean, a lot of those throws, I mean, shoot. Like, I got to say, Jared Goff, watching the New Orleans-LA film, they threw one to Woods. He did, Goff, and it just dropped right out of the sky. Right – I mean, it was a extended – I don't know how you defend that. So, yeah, really good deep passer. But if you have a guy that's able to put it on the spot like that, you're probably not going to have that with as much anyway with Bridgewater. But like I said, I've always admired him. You know, watching him going into that game, the Seahawks played against him a few years ago, I thought he was on a path to being a really good NFL quarterback. Got disrupted because of that injury. But, yeah, it's just going to be more about the Seahawks and executing. I think they're going to get this one.
Dave, we appreciate it, man. Great stuff. Enjoy your Dave chores.
I will. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, David.
There he is, Dave Wyman, with us every week here in the huddle. We're going to come back. We're going to speak with Mike Blowers, talk some Mariner baseball with Blowers as we do every week. As we continue live from Seahawks headquarters, it is Bob Gross and Tom, 710 ESPN Seattle.